You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Now it's time for the Southern Cross with Kendall Hutt.
So Kendall Hutt is here with Dr. Buri Irawanto, Associate Professor in the Department of Communication Science, Universitas Gajah Mada, Indonesia. His research into cultural politics of contemporary Indonesia and Malaysian cinema for his PhD, and has written two books on Indonesian cinema, served as the director of Jogja NetPack Asia Film Festival, and has served as jury members in many other national and international film festivals. Hello, guys.
Hello.
How are we all today?
Good, great.
And we're also joined by Dr. Muhammad Sohan and also Dr. Bevoa Kusumasari, and they're also from the Universitas Gajah Mada, and they're here in the first communication and public research collaboration of its kind in New Zealand with AUT School of Communication Studies and the Pacific Media Centre, and they're here for 2 weeks for a series of workshops and seminars, and they're also doing some research. So it's really great to have them here and to start this collaboration with Indonesia.
Yeah, me too. I'm happy to be here. And actually, this is the first time I come to New Zealand, and really great to, you know, to come here and enjoy the landscape, and also the weather is a bit cold for me.
Sorry about the wind. And I just wanted to ask, and if you could tell us a bit more about your visit to New Zealand and the significance for the university.
Okay, this is actually why we come here to New Zealand. It's actually part of the program, what's called the World Class Professor, or WCP. This is the program supported by the higher education part of the Minister of Education in Indonesia. The aim of the program is to increase the international publication by Indonesian professor or Indonesian scholar. So this is really important because at the moment we are doing research on the relationship between media and natural disaster in Indonesia, because you know, like, Indonesia is a disaster prone area but still under research, and we started to doing research about that, and we know that, you know, AUT, especially Pacific Media Center, have a lot of, you know, research related to issue about environment, climate change, and so on, and we see that this is really great potential collaboration if we do, you know, sort of like research, or probably also later on like joint publication, research about media, environment, and the moment is issue about natural disaster in Indonesia, yeah.
And in Bali at the moment, Mount Agung is on a high level threat with the volcanic eruption, and also in Vanuatu, Ambai, 3,000 residents have evacuated, and they're expecting 11,000 in total. What are the implications for communication and disaster risk management? How is the research going, in particular in Indonesia?
Yeah, that's especially in the Mount Agung case in Bali. We have also, you know, mostly have a problem between management run by local government and also central government, because in the in Jakarta we also have like sort of like a so-called state institution who deal with the natural disaster issue, and they have, you know, of course they have a lot of funding about that, but the local government have limited funding to do that, and had really costly to evacuate people, because we need to set up shelter for them and provide food and so on, medication as well. So the problem in Mount Agung in Bali, because a community who live near the mountain is refused to move to the other place, because according to the religious leader, because, you know, that's they are safe, you know, because they're protected by God or something like that. But then actually, you know, it's quite dangerous if they stay there. But the people living far from the, you know, like the dangerous area is, you know, keen to move to the other, ask the government to move to the other place. I mean, like to the shelter or something like that. So So now the problem is how to persuade them to go to the place when they can stay safe, something like that. And of course, the government need not just, need to deal with, because that's related to religious beliefs, something like that. So it's not quite straight away issue, just ask people to move, So that's also issue. And I think the media also cover a lot about this. And if I give comparison in my hometown in Yogyakarta, we also have a volcano eruption, Merapi Mountain. And the issue is slightly different. I mean, people living near the mountain is also refused to move because they afraid of with livestock, like cows or goats, because if they leave, who will take responsible for that? And then, but then local government say that just go to, the safe place, or they will compensate if, their livestock, died because of the eruption or something like that, and that already solved. But the first is, take time for government to persuade them to move to the other. So that's normally in some places can solve, but in the case of Mount Agung, because there's a, there's a new one, and yeah, they deal with that now at the moment. Yeah.
And on the topic of media, what is the status of media freedom in Indonesia? Can you comment on that?
Okay, since 1998, just after political change, after the decline of the Suharto regime in Indonesia, we got what's called the press freedom and freedom of expression, because before, media is tightly under control of the state, and you must need sort of like permission if you want to publish or you set up the media institution during that time, and need permission. It's not easy to get there. And government, if you criticize government, that's during the New Order era. They revoke the permit, and then suddenly, the media is shut down. But after that, we have a lot of media. It's almost the number is double, because no need permission to media. But after many years, some media is disappear, decline, because it's not easy to, run media in terms of, economic, how to sustain the media. And but the problem now is still a lot of cases, violent against journalists, especially when they cover issue about corruption in Indonesia, and we still, corruption is still rampant in Indonesia, and a lot of intimidation, sometimes, assault, an attack against journalists. It's one important case in August 1996, one of the journalists in Yogyakarta named Fuad Muhammad Safruddin, commonly called Udin. The case is still unresolved because Udin died from injury and sustained during attack, unidentified assailants in his home. Up to now, the case is still not clear who take to the court, and just unclear. And so journalists keep and also public as well, asking government to resolve this problem, because this is not really good, because if we have impunity for the murder of the journalists, this really sort of like a source of threat of democracy, because there's no freedom of expression. But the problem now is because, of the digital media, not many media want to do like investigative journalism, but only one, Tempo magazine in Jakarta, that's a famous news magazine in Jakarta. They do a lot of investigative journalism, related issue about corruption, because there's many challenge to do that. First is, you should have a skilled journalist to do that, and second is you deal with the legal issue if you it's not do it, and now is some of journalists afraid to do that, because otherwise they will face with the someone with political authority will, you know, send them to court or something like that. The third is because investigative journalism is costly. So it's not many media want to do that. So I think in some way, if we are talking about media freedom, it's not really come from the political power only, but also from what's called the media market as well, because they consider, oh, this is expensive, costly, and, you know, complicated in the issue, the legal issue, something like that. And the other is we also have some, like, the rising of some religious and conservative groups. Sometimes they intimidate the media because if they report some, you know, issue that they consider is not really the same view with them, sometimes, you know, the journalists got problem with that. That's the situation now in Indonesia.
So can I just quickly ask, because we're running out of time, as someone involved in the media yourself, do you ever feel intimidated or fearful of your own safety in Indonesia?
If you ask the journalists, they are quite feel it's okay. They are quite brave to do that. The problem is now is there is no clear. Although we have what's called the undang-undang pes or press bill. That's actually all the issue related with journalism. You cannot criminalize journalists because of the you know report, because the mechanism is you should go to the press council, you know, deal. I mean, if you are not happy with the report, just you ask, and then they try to mediate, and not straight away go to the court. That's the first step. Or you can use your right to reply to clarification in the media first. Before you go to the court. That's the procedure. So that's the way how to protect how the journalists work in Indonesia, actually. But of course, still some, you know, like some strong person or something like that hire like tax or something to intimidate the journalists. But mostly, you know, quite the protection is, you know, is a part of the bill, the press bill in Indonesia.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have today. Thank you so much, guys, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Bye. That was the Southern Cross.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.